Let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to focus this morning on Ephesians chapter 6, verse. I'll read verses 10, and I'll read a couple verses. And I'm excited about the lesson that God would have us to learn. I hope you brought your pencil and your notes. If you need a bulletin, you can raise your hand, and one of the ushers will give you a bulletin that has the study guide that you could fill in the blanks. And I'm going to read out of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. When everybody's there, say amen. It reads like this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's tricks. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, someone say therefore. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, that means the day of attack, when the enemy attacks you, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. And verse 15 is going to be our emphasis this morning. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Let me read that again. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Teach us your word this morning as we open up our heart to you. Help us to understand this scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. So we've been studying for these last several weeks about the armor of God on the subject revolutionary weapons. And I want to remind us that the enemy attacks us in order to stop God's purposes and plans from being manifested in our life. The Lord has spoken, whether you realize it or not, things over your life that he wants to fulfill, and the Lord has deposited destiny and purpose in your spirit that he wants to manifest in your lifetime. And one of the reasons why the enemy attacks you is to spiritually and emotionally paralyze you so that you don't manifest your purpose in this world. Because if you ever manifest the purpose of God in your life, you will become one bad mama jamma, whatever that means. But so the enemy comes to stunt you. He comes to spiritually and emotionally paralyze you. But when you put on the armor of God, you're able to chase the enemy out of your life. When you put on the armor of God, you're able to chase the enemy out of your marriage. You're able to chase the enemy out of your mind. When you put on the armor of God, you're able to fulfill your purpose in life. You're not going to fulfill your purpose in life without putting on the armor of God, because you are so valuable and you become a threat to the enemy that he's going to try to spiritually and emotionally paralyze you. He don't want you being all that God has called you to be. Now, let me remind you of the context in which Apostle Paul wrote Ephesians. He is in prison at this time when he begins to write this particular scripture. And probably, maybe, he is chained to a Roman soldier. At the very least, there's a Roman soldier near him that is watching him and guarding over him and watching his every move. I want you to get this picture. I'm giving you the context in which he wrote this letter. There's a Roman soldier that is watching over him every single moment of his life. And the devil, get this, the devil sends the Roman soldier into Paul's life to intimidate him, but God allows the Roman soldier into his life to teach him or give him a revelation of the armor of God. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? The devil sends the Roman soldier into his life to intimidate him, but God allows the Roman soldier into his life to teach him. What do you mean, teach him? Well, I want to remind you that Paul gets the revelation of the armor of God from the Roman soldier that is nearby him. Are you picking that up? He gets what the revelation of the armor of God that he explains in Ephesians, he gets it from the image of the Roman guard in which the devil sent into his life to intimidate him. But how many of you know what the enemy means for evil, God turns for good? Now, I want you to pick this up, because no matter what hard situation comes into your life, no matter how hard of a situation is, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, if you stay in the Word of God and you stay worshiping you and you stay praying, God will turn your situation into a revelation. Did you catch that this morning? No matter what hard situation you're going through, if you keep your eyes on Jesus and you keep your head in the book, right, God will turn your hard situation into a revelation, and you will cry out like the psalmist says, that he said, I was glad that I was afflicted, that I may learn your word. The problem is we get distracted in our situation and we allow the enemy to mess us up, and we never learn the revelation of the situation. So you have to go through it over and over and over and over again. If you can't say amen, say ouch. So the question is, are you learning the lesson of the battle? Are you learning the lesson of the battle? So today I want us to focus on verse 15, and I want us to learn what it means to have our battle boots on. One of the pieces of the armor that God gives us are battle boots. They're boots for the battle. And Paul says in verse 15 that he wants your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And I got a couple reflections for us this morning. The first one is this, that God wants us stable in the battle. Write that down. God wants us stable. Now, when Paul talks about your feet being fitted with the readiness of the gospel, he is using the image of a Roman soldier's shoe that was designed for battle. And the Roman soldier's shoe had spikes on the bottom of them, and the spikes were designed to help the soldier to dig in the midst of battle. I want you to get this image in your mind. The battle boots of the Roman soldier had spikes in them, and they were designed to help the soldier dig in and to stabilize the soldier in the battle. The design, the boots had things that would dig them in to the ground, so that when the battle takes place, the soldier wouldn't be slipping and tripping. Touch your neighbor and say, are you slipping and tripping? See, the spikes help the soldier to dig in. And so when Paul talks about the battle boots, he's talking about steadiness. He's talking about toughness. He's talking about stability. When he's talking about put on your battle boots, he's talking about being stable. He's talking about steadfastness. He's talking about persevering. He's talking about not slipping and tripping in the midst of the battle. Are you following along? So over and over in the scripture, God challenges us not just to stand, but to stand firm. See, it's one thing, anybody can stand for a second, but you know, when you begin to stand up in the midst of the battle, you become a target, right? And so if you're going to stand up in the midst of the battle, and if you're going to remain standing, you got to learn how to dig in. Got to learn how to dig in. So the Bible over and over instructs us not just to stand, but to stand firm. Let me remind you. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, it says, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm. 1 Corinthians 16 reminds us again, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith. So we're not just to stand, but we're to stand firm, because the battle boots help us to become unmovable. God wants us to be unmovable in the battle. You see, another reason why the enemy attacks you is to move you. Are you following along? The enemy attacks you to move you. He wants to move you from your position in the battlefield. He wants to move you from your position in the battlefield. So he wants to move you from prayer. He wants to move you from worship. He wants to move you from studying your Bible. He wants to move you from church. And so God says, listen, the first thing that you need to do, you need to put on your battle boots so you could dig in. I need you to dig in. Touch your neighbor and say, can you dig it? So again, the battle boots speak of steadfastness. And they're designed to help the soldier through a long march. The battle boots help give you long obedience in the same direction. That's what God wants from every Christian. He wants long obedience in the same direction. And the only way you're going to do that is if you stay suited and booted. That's the only way you're going to give long obedience in the same direction. You want an indication that you don't have your battle boots on? You know what a sign is that you don't have your battle boots on? Is you're always moving around. Can we talk like family? You're always moving around. Always jumping around. Always jumping around. Remember that song from Criss Cross? Jump, jump, jump around. I don't know why I said that, but. So the encouragement today, the challenge today, is to stop jumping around. Stop jumping around. Stay suited and booted so that you can stay dug in. Stop jumping around from church to church. Stop jumping around from girl to girl. Stop jumping around from job to job. Stop jumping around from ministry to ministry. Get dug in. Stay dug in. Dig in. I want all of you to be a part of Chapel of Change for 30 years. If the Lord shall tarry, I want to look around in 30 years and say, man, we've been serving the Lord together at Chapel Church for 30 years. You are getting up there. So God wants us stable. He wants us stable, not just jumping around, moving around. Number two, someone say number two. God wants us armed with the gospel. He wants us armed with the gospel. He says, I want you fitted with the gospel. With the gospel. Now, I read this week that we need to remind ourselves of the gospel every day because we forget it every day. And if you're new here, one of the things you need to understand is that we are a gospel people. We are a gospel-centered church. And the word gospel, the word itself literally means good news. The word gospel comes from a word that means good news. We are people of good news. Even in bad news, we have good news. I said, even in bad news, we have good news. When Jesus left heaven, he came to earth and he brought us good news. The angel said in Luke chapter 2 at the birth of Jesus, he says, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. We are people of good news. We are carriers of the good news of Jesus Christ. We are carriers of the good news of Jesus Christ. All that Jesus has done and all that Jesus is available to those who believe. I'm going to say that again. All that Jesus done and all that Jesus is available to those who believe. In fact, Jesus says in Revelation chapter 22, he says, let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. We are carriers of the good news of Jesus Christ. We are also carriers of the good news of the kingdom of God, and all that the kingdom of God has to offer belongs to those that believe. And In the kingdom of God is all you'll ever need. In the kingdom of God is joy. In the kingdom of God is peace. In the kingdom of God is power and purpose. We don't have to be slaves to sin any longer. We don't have to be far from God any longer. We don't have to walk in condemnation any longer. For the kingdom of God has broken out through Jesus Christ, and it continues to break out through his people, i.e. the church, more specifically Chapel of Change. And so we have the good news of the kingdom, and God wants us armed. He wants us armed with the good news. Don't ever get tired of hearing the good news, because you forget it every day anyways. The third reflection is that God wants us to walk in peace. He wants us to walk in peace. Again, calling your attention to Ephesians 6:15. He says, your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The word peace is probably the second most powerful word in the Bible. The word peace is probably the second most meaningful and rich word in the Bible, in so much it is my personal opinion that the devil has tried to water down the meaning of the word peace through our English language. We think that peace is just tranquility. We think that peace is coming together with somebody and talking something over. But in the original language, peace is far greater than just tranquility, and we're going to learn that today. Jesus offers us his peace. He offers us his peace. In John 14, verse 27, listen to this. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Get this. Jesus says, my peace I give to you. I don't give it as the world gives. In other words, there's Jesus's peace, and then there's the world's peace. Don't fall for the okey-doke. There's Jesus's peace, and then there's the world's peace. The world offers peace and appeal. The world offers peace through entertainment. The world offers peace through money. But the kingdom offers real peace in Jesus Christ. That's where the real peace is at. In fact, Jesus says it again in John chapter 16, verse 33. Listen to this. He says, I have told you these things so that in me, you may have peace. Now, one of the most wonderful things about the biblical peace is that peace doesn't just bring calmness. Peace also brings wholeness. Write that down. Peace doesn't just bring calmness. Peace also brings wholeness. The world needs more than just calmness. We need wholeness. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, they dropped us and we shattered at that very moment. And the enemy came and he pulled us away into prisoner war status, and he began to break us ever since that day with sin, condemnation, and everything else. And apart from Jesus, we are all broken people who need wholeness. We need wholeness. In fact, in the original language, in the Hebrew language, the peace comes from the word shalom, which means to be restored to wholeness. Restored to wholeness. So when Jesus says, I give you my peace, in me you may have peace, what he's saying is, I'm going to restore you to wholeness. I'm going to take you back to the Garden of Eden before Adam and Eve dropped you. And I'm going to restore you to wholeness. And I'm going to make you complete. I'm going to make you complete. Hear me today. There is nothing in this world that makes you complete other than Jesus. Can we talk like family for a moment? Your spouse does not complete you. Your spouse does not complete. If you're looking at your spouse to complete you, you're looking at the wrong place. Your job does not complete you. If you're looking to make a certain amount of money so that you can feel completed, you're looking in the wrong place. That's counterfeit peace. Jesus says, my peace I give you. In other words, I want to restore you to wholeness, to completion. I want to give you, I come down to make you whole. That's what he says. And we've been broken. We've been broken, all of us, to some degree. We have been broken. Can I take you a little bit deeper? I want to remind you that we are three-part beings. We have a spirit, or we are a spirit. We have a soul, which is our will and emotions, and we live in a body. Are you following along? We're a three-part being. Spirit, soul, which is your will and emotions, and your body. When you get saved, at that very moment, you are instantaneously, your spirit has been justified. Your spirit has been saved in one moment. But it takes your soul sometimes years to be restored to wholeness. That's why Apostle Paul challenges us, you need to dig in. I'm gonna say it again. This is the reason why you can come and get saved at the altar, and you can walk away and at that night still lay in your bed hurt. Ever wonder why that happens? Man, I'm saved, but my mind is still tormented. Because it takes time for the soulish part of you to be restored to wholeness. You are saved in an instant. It's called justification. He makes you right, but sanctification takes a lifetime. Are you following along? This is the problem. This is why we have so many defeated Christians in this world. They're saved, but they're still thinking like a devil. They're saved, but they're still thinking like a victim. They're saved, but they're still hurting other people because they haven't stayed dug in the church long enough for God to restore their soul. Are you following along? I do want you to turn to a verse. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 5:23. I want to camp out on this for a moment because some of us mistakenly think just because we come to the altar that God is a microwave type of God. You are saved in an instant, but you are sanctified in a lifetime. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It's right before 2 Thessalonians. Listen to this. Turn with this in your Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Listen to this. It says, I like this. It says, may God himself. I like that because see, there's some things that only God can do in my life. And them things that are broken to the core, God says, listen, I'm going to step into that situation myself if you let me. He says, may God himself, the God of peace, get this now, sanctify you through and through. I love that because it's talking about you need to work deep down in your soul. Don't just come to Jesus for no surface stuff. Don't just come up here for no surf. Don't be a surface type of Christian. No, you've been hurt deep down to your core and you need that balm of Galilee that the Bible talks about that sinks deep down in your soul and heals you through and through. Are you following along? Listen to what it says, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get this. Paul sets in order your spirit, your soul, and your body. He gives the order of importance here. The order of your part. Listen to this. Your spirit affects your soul, and your soul affects your body. Are you following along? Your spirit affects your soul, and your soul affects your body. Now, your spirit is saved instantaneously, but you got to stay dug into the things of God to have your soul restored. You do not take a meal out of the oven before it's cooked because if you eat it, it'll make you throw up. And so what happens is that Christians get saved and they get their spirit right, but they don't stay dug in and get their soul right. So they go out to their work or they go out to wherever they're going and they act a fool. You know why they act a fool? It's because their soul has never been restored. And get this. Your body will always tell on your soul. Yeah, you could try to masquerade your soul. You could try to hide your soul with makeup and suits and haircuts. But your body, i.e. the way you respond to things, your emotional state of being, will always tell on your soul. The only reason why you're bitter and you're anger is because your soul is malfunctioned. A malfunctioned soul produces a malfunctioned body. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? This is why it's so important to stay in the hands of God, because Psalmist says that he restores my soul. And many of us, man, this is Chapel of Change. We got some deep, deep testimonies up in here. And you ain't gonna just, God ain't no microwave type of God. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes his grace, it takes sanctification, it takes going to Bible study, going to worship, fellowshipping. It takes all that over a long period of time, this long obedience in the same direction, long obedience in the same direction. Don't think you're going to come to God for 2 weeks and he's just going to put everything back together. Long obedience in the same direction. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Now, can I take you a little bit deeper? I want to take you a little bit deeper. There is a deeper definition of the word peace. There is actually an ancient Hebrew word picture definition of peace that is very, very deep. And if you get a revelation of this, it will blow your mind. In the ancient Hebrew, their language was composed not just of sound, but of pictures. Are you following along? Our English is composed of sound, A-E-I-O-U, but in the ancient Hebrew language, it was not composed just of sound, but it was composed of pictures. And every letter in the ancient Hebrew was a picture that conveyed a meaning. Are you following along? I want to show you what the ancient Hebrews thought of the word peace and what peace does in the life of a believer. Let me show you this. Listen, this is the word in ancient Hebrew, peace. To the far left is the first word, and it is a picture of a tsunami. It's a picture of waters, chaotic waters. It's a picture of chaos. The next word, letter, I should say, is a picture of a nail. It's a picture of a nail. What does nails do? When you nail something to the wall, what does it do? It connects something, right? The third letter is a picture of a staff, a shepherd's staff. A shepherd's staff. What is a shepherd's staff? Means authority. It means authority. The last letter in the word peace in the ancient Hebrew is a picture of teeth. It's a picture of teeth. What do teeth do? They cut things up. They slice things up. They rip things up. The meaning is to destroy. That's why you got teeth. You know why you got teeth? Because you eat all that food and you got to chop it all up. Look at the meaning, the ancient Hebrew meaning of peace, these word pictures. Now here's the thing. In Hebrew, they read right to left, not left to right. You know, we read left to right. Ancient Hebrews, they read right to left. So if you line that word up right from left, it gives you the deeper picture of what it means to have the peace of God. What does the peace of God do in your life? I'm going to show you the next slide. This is what the peace of God does in your life. It destroys the authority connected to chaos in your life. This is what the peace of God does when you walk with them battle boots on. It destroys the authority connected to chaos in your life. This ain't no passive type of peace. This ain't no pretty little type of peace. No, this is an explosive, powerful type of destroying type of peace. Let me just see, when we live in sin and we live in rebellion, when we give the enemy right to set up things in our life that cause us chaos. when we live in rebellion and we live in sin, or when we go through something traumatic and we don't respond right, the enemy is so sneaky that he tries to attach things to our life to cause us to live in perpetual chaos. So you're always wondering, why am I always arguing with my wife? I love her. She's pretty. But why do we keep arguing? I don't understand it. Why am I at odds with my kids all the time? Why do I keep getting fired from my job? Everywhere I go, there's a dust of smoke following me around. Why? Because the enemy has planted some things in your life that causes perpetual chaos. But when you put on the battle boots of peace, it destroys. It destroys all that's connected to chaos in your life. That's what it means. That's why you got to stay suited and booted, because for some of us, we walk into chaotic things. You're walking into a chaotic home. You're walking into a chaotic environment at your work, and you need the peace of God to destroy the authority that is connected to chaos in your life. So when I first got saved, I remember I couldn't sleep at night because I believed that I was being tormented by a demon. I was so wrapped up in sin, so wrapped up in rebellion, that even though my spirit was saved, my soul was malfunctioned. And I believe that the enemy had assigned a demon to torment. So I'm saved, but I'm laying up at night, tormented, can't even go to sleep at night. And one of the first things that I learned as a Christian, one of my teachers taught me, he said, Brian, whenever you find that your peace is being perpetually attacked or your joy is being perpetually attacked, that is a demon trying to rob you of what God has given you. And so I had to learn this. I had to learn how to put on my battle boots on. And I learned that Isaiah 9:6 says that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the prince that destroys all the authority connected to chaos in my life. If the enemy sneakily try to attach something to my life, the more I stay in his word, the more I stay in the spirit, the more I walk in my boots, he destroys those things. And slowly but surely, I begin to go to sleep tonight, and I'm going to go to sleep good tonight to the glory of God. And so how do you lace up your boots? How do you lace up your boots? Let me wind it down with this, because this is not automatic, my brothers and sisters. We don't serve, for the most part, an automatic God. He's not a genie. He's given us responsibilities to do. We are soldiers, and we got commandments to do. We need to follow the orders of the Bible. So how do I stay laced up? I found a scripture, Isaiah 26, verse 3. I'm going to put it up on the screen. Listen to what it says. It says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. See? So the more I keep my mind on Jesus, the more he destroys that which causes me chaos. Are you picking this up? The more I keep my eyes on Jesus, the more he destroys that which is connected to chaos in my life. Let me show you another verse, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Listen to this, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. You know what everything means in the Greek? It means everything. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Look at your responsibility. This is your responsibility, to be prayerful and to be thankful. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? To be prayerful and to be thankful. And guess what it says? Present your request to God, and guess what's going to happen? Look what's going to happen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. That means they ain't gonna understand. You going through hell and high water, but you still got a smile on your face. You going through crazy stuff, and you still worshiping the Lord. It is the peace that surpasses all understanding. Get this point. Get this last point, because I always wondered why it described peace in this way. This is not a passive type of peace. Listen to what it says. It will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The more I'm prayerful, the more I'm thankful, the peace of God rises up like a sentinel, like a soldier, and it guards my mind and it guards my heart. When I got a revelation of this, man, I envisioned Jesus as a giant Pac-Man, man, eating up everything the devil tried to set in my heart. He's destroying the authorities in my life that is connected to chaos. I remember one time I was in prison. I was 21 years old and I was serving the Lord, and I got word that there were some people on the prison yard that wanted to stab me because I was a Christian. And I don't know about you, but that caused some chaos in my life. Whenever you hear somebody want to stab you, that caused me some anxiety. I don't care how much a Christian you are. But I learned to put my battle boots on. And I went to God in prayer. And I said, God, I'm serving you. God, my life is in your hands. And by the way, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of fear. And I begin to pray to God, and I begin to worship the Lord. And then on top of that, I found a scripture. I found a scripture. Remember last week we talked about you got to find a scripture that if you ain't standing on the word, it's just wishful thinking, and wishful thinking don't move mountains. I found a scripture, Psalm 16:7. Listen to what it says. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. I found that scripture, and I begin to stand on that scripture, and I begin to put my battle boots on, and I begin to worship the Lord. And within a couple days, God gave me favor with one of the influential guys on the yard, and the Lord destroyed the authority that was causing me chaos. Y'all need to learn how to put your battle boots on. Don't leave your house without your boots on. Don't leave your house without your boots on. That's what it means. That's what it means. I'm going to leave you with one scripture as we close. Leviticus 26:6. Listen to what it says. It's an awesome definition of peace. It says, I will give you peace in the land, and you will be able to sleep with no cause of fear. I will rid the land of wild animals and keep your enemy out of the land. This is what peace does. It destroys the authorities causing us chaos. I will give you peace, and you'll be able to sleep, and you will have no fear, and I will rid the land of wild demons that are tormenting you and keeping you from fulfilling your purpose in life. But you got to put your battle boots on. You got to put your battle boots on. Let's bow our heads. With every head bowed and every eye closed. As the worship team comes up, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want us to think about for a couple moments how the Lord spoke to you and how are you going to respond. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let's just meditate and reflect upon the Word of God.